Today's part one of a two-part series where we will deep dive into this topic of forgiveness. We're going to go through three truths that we outline about forgiveness. Today will be the first two, and then next time we will follow up with the last truth. So with that, jump right in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Escaping Moral Adventure. Now, last time, we did an intro episode about forgiveness. And this time, we're going to go a bit deeper. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else is.
All right.
Okay, so just to recap briefly, last week we introduced three truths about forgiveness. There are many more. We just talked about three very briefly. One was forgiveness is required, as the Bible states. And two, forgiveness is not dependent upon another person's apology. And three, forgiveness is freeing. And so today we're going to go through those in a bit more detail. We thought that first it would be helpful to start out with a definition of forgiveness. So I looked up the definition according to Merriam-Webster, and it said, forgiveness means to cease to feel resentment against, such as resentment against an offender, so forgiving one's enemies. Another definition is to give up resentment of or claim to requital for, such as in forgiving an insult. And then a third definition Merriam-Webster's dictionary gave was to grant relief from payment of, as in forgiving a debt.
So those seem pretty obvious then, those three. I would say we probably would have got pretty close if we would have tried to give our own definition of forgiveness. Let's keep going.
So then I also looked at what psychologists typically define forgiveness as. And I did this because there's a lot of psychological research on forgiveness, which we will talk about some of that later. But so they generally define forgiveness as a conscious and deliberate decision to let go of feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or a group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. And so I think that's a bit different from like the definition or the dictionary definition, because it adds in that little, that last part of the sentence, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. And I don't think any of the dictionary definitions really touched on that. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say they don't say it specifically. They kind of allude to it, the definitions, right? So resentment against an offender, mm-hmm. or a claim, you know, forgive an insult, or to grant relief from a payment. So there's a little bit there about, I would say, maybe it could allude to the fact that they may not deserve it, but it doesn't exactly say it so bluntly like that definition does. A little bit of what I like about that definition is it says a deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance, mm-hmm. which means you also, like, not only, like, the definition says granting relief from, this says actually being deliberate about trying to not have feelings of resentment or vengeance, which means it's probably takes a little bit of work, right? So I do like that part of that one.
Okay, then also from a biblical standpoint, so I looked at, biblically speaking, okay, what is forgiveness? How is it defined? And so I found that from a biblical standpoint, it refers to, forgiveness refers to laying down our right to have our offender owe us, choosing to trust God to avenge our situation instead of taking it into our own hands, choosing to extend love and kindness. And we'll link to all the sites that we got this information from. But I thought that was really good. And then another piece to that was choosing not to harbor bitterness and resentment towards the offending party. And so you'll notice, right, from a biblical standpoint, the definition brings in God, and the other ones did not.
And I would say it also gives, it seems stronger, that definition, because it brings in God. That God is got it all under control, let's say.
Right.
And so you can trust in that. So I think that even gives us as Christians more ability to forgive. Of course, we still have, we're going to talk about this later, we still have the command to forgive, but it seems like we have even a better chance at doing it because we can use this bigger perspective that God has it in control and we can trust him to take control. So
right. I definitely like that one. That's good.
So how about we jump in then? So that was a overview of what is forgiveness in a few different definitions, dictionary, what we see in psychology, so the study of it, and then also from a Christian standpoint, let's dive into our first truth then.
Okay.
So forgiveness is required. What do you think?
Well, lots of scriptures point to this. So forgiveness is required. We are speaking to Jesus followers, I would say, because that's where we get our cues from, is from the Bible, and the Bible commands us to forgive. Now, if someone's listening and they aren't a follower of Jesus, there's, you know, the law doesn't require us to forgive. You know what I mean? You might be listening to this and thinking, what do you mean it's required to forgive? We will talk about later some benefits of forgiveness, so it's still, you know, it would still be good to forgive, but
a little hint, yet again, the science backs up biblical truth.
Yes.
Again, just again, like.
And again and again.
Just like previous episodes, it happens again, but hint for later. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we see in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, it says, Then Peter came up and said to him, to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. What he's saying is you need to forgive again and again and again, basically endless number of times.
Well, 70 times seven happens to be
777.
No, get your times table.
Seven, 70 times 7. 7 times 7 is 49. 490.
Yes.
But you're supposed to forgive. It's just it's not a literal number.
Right. I would agree with you. But I'm just thinking that some people out there might be like scratching down, right? Like how many times they might want to forgive someone. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Jesus is saying there is seven is already a lot, right? You would think, do I have to forgive someone seven times? Oh, my gosh. But he's like, no, 70 times seven. And you're right. It's a metaphor to say, as like, keep on going, right? Mm-hmm. Don't stop. So, yes, you're right.
Okay, so then also, right, why is forgiveness required? We see that it's required. Jesus told us to do it. But why? Well, in short, because the Lord forgave us. So who are we to not extend forgiveness when it's been extended to us so freely from the Lord? And we see in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So there it's speaking to, look, the Lord has forgiven you, so you need to forgive as well.
There are so many scriptures, and we'll go through a lot of them today. I mean, not all of them, that talk about this. Forgive one another because you were forgiven, or because you were forgiven, you must forgive one another, or so that you can be forgiven, forgive one another. We're going to talk about several of these scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Right. And another one that speaks to the why, though, before we move on, is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we see that Christ is our example, right? The Lord is our example. And because of that, and because he's forgiving, we are called to do that as well.
Exactly. So pretty clear from scripture that forgiveness is required. We see that a little bit. Now it gets even stronger, I would say, along the same vein of forgiveness being required, is what happens if we don't forgive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So first scripture we have here is Matthew 6:14-15 in the New Living Translation. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but that sounds awful to me. So I'm like, I have to look this up. Like, what does this actually mean?
Hmm.
And
what did you find?
So, okay. And this was from gotquestions.org. So again, I'll share that in the notes, but it's saying that this scripture from Matthew 6 is not teaching that our eternal destiny is based on us forgiving other people, right? Because we know from scripture that our eternal destiny is based on faith in Christ alone, right? Trust in him alone, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, and that, not based on any good deeds on our own part, okay? However, the scripture is teaching us that our relationship with God will be damaged, or it'll be hindered, right, if we refuse to forgive those who have offended us.
That's exactly right. And to go even deeper, maybe, and this gets difficult, but when you're doing something like not forgiving others, it is a heart issue, and it's an opportunity to sort of think about making sure that you have actually accepted Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did this incredible thing for us, you know, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we didn't deserve it. He died for us. Incredible gift. And we see here that, like, this idea that we're not in right standing if we're not forgiving. It's clear. Right. The scripture shows us we're not in right standing. So search your heart. Have you actually accepted Christ's gift of forgiveness? Have you accepted what he's done for us so that you can be saved? And so, yeah, I agree here that this isn't to say that there's some work that we have to do to earn salvation. But what it is saying is God did it for you. He commands you to also do it. Therefore, check your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he's done for us, and yeah, follow the commands that are clearly written down for us, and forgiveness is clearly written down for us. All right, so that is truth number one, which is forgiveness is required. How about truth number two, which again makes it even harder, I think.
Yeah, forgiveness is not dependent upon another person's apology.
This could be difficult for people. I mean, it's difficult for me. I know that. And I have to say, I don't have any massive examples in my own life where, like, I can't even imagine the hurt people have been through something like, I mean, the worst things, right? Like if someone was killed,
mm-hmm.
whether it was intentional or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any examples like that. So you're telling me that someone else doesn't have to apologize for me to forgive them, and it's still required? Is that what we're saying?
Hmm.
I'm asking you, is that what we're saying?
We are. Well, I'm okay. Not saying it. I mean, scripture is saying it. So, and we shared the scripture last week, but Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So right there, it's saying, whenever you stand praying, forgive. And as we pointed out last week, it's not saying, when you stand praying, go talk to the other person and get them to apologize to you and then forgive them. You know, it's just while you're praying, forgive.
So
if you have anything against someone.
Yeah, sorry. So even in those situations where there's something that's been wronged against you, small or big, because I think the small things can turn big if they fester, we have to seek to, and what was our definition of forgiveness? Make a decision to mm-hmm. release resentment or release those feelings of resentment, for, you know, cancel the debt.
Mm-hmm. And trust God to take care of it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We're supposed to do that when people haven't even apologized for something they've done wrong to us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think it's also important to note here that forgiveness does not mean you condone what the other person did. It doesn't mean that you'll go back to trusting them again, or, you know, if it's something with a relationship, it doesn't mean you're going to restore the relationship again. You know, so for example, if a person or company you had your money invested with stole some of your cash, some of your money, you can forgive them for doing that and not harbor any bitterness towards them or anger towards them and not seek revenge. But that doesn't mean that you're going to trust them again with your money, right? Mm. You're probably going to find somewhere else to invest your money or, you know, another person to do that with.
Yeah. And I think what's so important about that part, let's say about forgiving isn't the same as trusting in your example you gave, is that we sometimes think that we're letting people get away with it. And I just have to call out a scripture that we heard at church actually, just this morning. And it's Ecclesiastes 12:14, which is the last verse in the entire book of Ecclesiastes. It says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." And this goes perfectly with the scripture we said earlier, that we trust God to handle it, mm-hmm. to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And so no one gets away with anything under the sun. And before we move on, just to finish it off, which is God did bring every good deed or every deed into judgment. And that's why Christ came and died for us to forgive us of our sins if we accept him, which is a perfect way to flow into this reconciliation topic. So we talked about forgiveness is not dependent on another person's apology, mm-hmm. but that's not the same as reconciliation.
Right. Talk to us about reconciliation,
okay,
please.
Okay, let's go into reconciliation.
because that is going to require the other person to be involved.
Yeah. Yeah. So reconciliation may require its own podcast sometime, okay. because it's a big topic, but we'll just go into it a little bit. So reconciliation is, you know, use your example again, and let's say it was a person that, yeah, stole your money, whatever, and maybe it was a friend, and of course they broke your trust, and you can forgive them. But to reconcile, they actually have to ask you for forgiveness. They have to tell you they're sorry, and they have to work to try to, yeah, earn back the trust, gain back the trust, and you have to be accepting of it. So that's what reconciliation is about. Now, we talked about how we're reconciled to Christ. So he died to save us. To be reconciled to him means we need to believe and accept that free gift. So believe it in our heart and accept it. That's how we work to be, that's not how we work. That's how we are reconciled to Christ, is through that, because we're accepting his gift that he freely gave us. So in doing some research about this idea of forgiveness and reconciliation, I came across this pastor. His name's Pastor Tom Hicks. He is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church of Clinton, Louisiana. And on his in some of his writings, I'll quote first, and then I have a little bit of a paraphrase too. He says, "The Bible does require us to forgive those who have harmed us, and it requires us to reconcile as brothers and sisters in Christ if the sinning party repents. But the Bible does not tell us to trust people and receive them into close companionship if they have utterly destroyed our trust. We must love them," that's Matthew 5:44, "but we are not required to trust them," John 2:24. And then he goes on to say, this is a bit of a paraphrase, "Reconciliation in a Christian context means we're willing to accept our brother or sister in Christ. It also means we will seek to regain trust, but it doesn't mean we will immediately trust or bring them into close companionship." So in a Christian context, that's the idea behind forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is required 100%. Reconciliation is a different thing. It requires other things to be in place, like the offending party to seek to certainly apologize, but also restore. And in a Christian context, if they are Christian brothers and sisters, we should seek to reconcile with them. That, so that's clear also. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about forgiveness and reconciliation.
So reconciliation, it's not easy. I don't know in any context reconciliation would be easy. And so just a bit of encouragement, I guess, know that it's going to be difficult, but difficult doesn't necessarily mean bad. And we need to not think of those things as synonymous with one another. So oftentimes the difficult thing to do is the right thing to do. And so don't run away from reconciliation just because it's challenging or, you know, maybe it's messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I think back to some of our marriage podcasts, one of the things that we talk about there a little bit is being able to fight well. That was one of our actual podcasts. And the whole idea there is that you can get these things out on the table whenever something's happened, like how you felt wronged, and then work toward reconciliation. That's been a big part of it. And by the way, reconciliation in that context strengthens the relationship. That was kind of like our whole point, is it helps strengthen the relationship because you're learning about one another, etc. Now, certainly some things are bigger than just little things that you're fighting about, and they can get bigger and bigger. So those are harder even yet. But I do think what we find about reconciliation is truly doing it does strengthen those relationships. Think back to your relationships with your friends, right? If they're deep friends, you've probably had some times where things were tough, where things were difficult, where you didn't agree, where something, right? And if you've reconciled through that, you've strengthened your friendship because now you've been through it. You know, you've seen other people's warts and you've reconciled through it. And so it actually can strengthen. So you're right. It's could be hard. Can also be really, it is the best thing, especially for brothers and sisters in Christ.
I agree. Well, I was just talking with a friend of mine about exactly what you said and how going through struggles and reconciling and all of those things has brought us closer to each other and even grown our relationship with the Lord. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. It's probably good just to quickly say this should not be used as an excuse to, I think we've said it carefully, but to like try to immediately reconcile with someone who's abused you or something like that. The Bible, in fact, is pretty clear about these deep hurts where, and I think the way this Pastor Tom Hicks said it, he said, for people that have, how did he say it, utterly destroyed our trust, if it's being faithful in marriage, for example, the Bible actually doesn't even say that needs to be reconciled, right? So in other words, this is not some excuse to just go and, yeah, I should immediately reconcile if someone's hurting me or abusing me, whatever. Clearly, that's not the idea here. The idea is both sides have to seek to recover from that.
Okay, that is where we are going to pause the conversation on forgiveness for today. We will be back next week with more on forgiveness. We will for sure cover the last truth about forgiveness being freeing, and we'll see you then.
See you next time.